This is it, folks. This is the end. This is the end time. We haven't just started to get here. We've been here for a while. Things have been changing and transforming, not just in the world, but in the church too. Everybody's going through some type of transformation. But nevertheless, with God, we can do all things through Him that strengthens us. This week, I've been thinking about contending for my faith. And I have been contending for my faith all week. The word contend, a few weeks ago, was it last week? I remember the First Lady preached on the struggle. The word contend, broken down in the Greek, means to struggle. We struggle to defend and to fight for our faith. The faith that we have honored God with, the faith that we have so accepted Him for. We fight for that faith, not just financially, but we fight to control that faith and to stand forth in that faith as victors spiritually and even physically. I've been noticing I've been contending for the faith physically. It's a struggle. And it comes to separate you from what you know to be. Not what you've been taught, or not what somebody has told you, but what you know. See, firsthand, I know that God is a healer. Because He has healed me. So I don't need anybody to tell me or to convince me that God has the power to heal still in this day. I know it for a fact. I don't need anybody's advice. I know it for a fact. Therefore, I've been contending, Brother Joe, for my faith. My faith is the pistis faith, that divinely implanted principle that God has implanted in all of us, which is our measure of faith that God has planted in us. That faith that tells you when you go out to start your car, it's going to start. That faith that tells you when you go to turn on the stove, it's going to turn on. The fire is going to show. That's that implanted principle that automatically kicks in when you go to do something. You automatically know that that thing is going to take place.
Come on now. Amen.
But when things start to fight against what you already know to be, then it affects or it tries to cause the struggle in your manhood or in your lifestyle for your faith.
Amen.
I know that God is a healer, Brother Therese. So I'm dealing with things in my body. You know, was it last year I had surgery on my left knee? It feels like it was just yesterday. I may understand. My shoulder is messed up. My left shoulder. He said it's not a torn. The rotator cuff's not torn, but the muscles are messed up in it. Well, there's nothing I can get done to it. My wrist is messed up. I'm not telling you this for you to feel sorry for me. I'm telling you this because this is the only way I know how to get you to understand what the struggle is.
That's right.
And what it is to fight to struggle for your faith.
That's right.
My left foot, my instep is messed up. I got things going on as you do that I have to deal with. I have very serious sinus problems that I don't know why they just decided to show up when I turned 57. How many understand what I'm saying? I never had these type of problems before. But I never lived by faith before either.
Come on now.
So now that I'm contending, Brother Joe, to live by faith, now I have these things attacking my faith. How many hear me? It's not so much the people that I have to deal with. I know what that is. I know that that's flesh. I know that they're partners with the devil, or they're working out of their flesh, either or, but they're doing that. I know how to contend with that because I can see that for what it is. But the problem in my body is a totally different thing. I remember reading in scripture where Paul sat and laid down before God and said, "Lord, why have you sent Satan to buffet me?" Here I done raised the dead all over this Asia. I done seen blinded eyes open. limbs come back, bones be healed, flesh be taken care of, folks saved, delivered, and set free. And here I am in this struggle in my flesh. And I'm contending for my faith. My faith that you are still a miracle worker. That you are still a healer. That you are still a deliverer. I'm struggling, Brother Joel, for my faith. The word of God says, hold fast to your profession of faith. That means if you confess yourself to be a faith person, then you got to fight to hold on to it, because things are coming to try to separate you from your faith. You say, well, why is that so important that we hold on to our faith? Because if it can separate you from your faith, it'll separate you from God. So here I am this morning. I've been up all night. I kept my wife up all night, hacking and snotting and spitting it, and not, then my shoulder was hurting. I couldn't find the right way to lay, because if I lay on my left side, I had this pain shoot through my shoulder. If I turn around too fast, I had this pain shoot through my right wrist. And then I was careful because I didn't know whether I was having cramps in my shin or if it was just pain in my shin. And I'm laying there crying out to God in myself, and I said, Lord, why am I going through this foolishness? And you are a healer. Then, to add insult to injury, I wake up Thursday morning and I have no voice. I go to say something to my wife, and I say to myself, Lord, please, you kid, right? This is a joke. And you know what the Lord said? I'll put no more on you than that which you can bear. Well, I'm not bearing it very well.
Keep it real, Pastor.
We have to be real with God.
Right.
He already knows the intents of our hearts, so he knows where we're coming from. Right. So ain't no need of you lying about it.
Right.
No, I don't like it.
Come on.
So we are battling, we're struggling to hold on to our faith. And let's read some of this. Second chapter, the first verse. My brethren, have not the if you underline, write in your Bible, underline the, because it's key. Underline the faith, because it takes faith to another level. It transforms faith into being a divinely implanted principle to it being a person.
Come on now.
My brethren, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord is not in the actual writings. It reads the Lord Jesus Christ of glory. And then the word glory translated here in the Greek means dignity and honor. Meaning that it's important that we uphold the dignity and the honor of God in spite of whatever we're going
That's
through.
Right.
And
right.
We can't have any respect of persons.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, it's quiet in here.
Amen.
How many ever been to church? You went to a church and you had on jeans and a shirt, and they looked at you differently than the person that walked in with you who had on a shirt and a tie. Well, you go in a jewelry store. Take, for instance, I got on a baggy sweatshirt, pair of cut-up jeans, and a pair of boots. Therese is dressed the way he dressed. We both walk in the jewelry store. Who do you think they're going to run to? They're going to beat him up trying to get to him. Why? It's the same way in the church house. That's why we read last week, God said judgment is going to start in the house of God.
That's right.
If it don't start with us first, he said, I'm paraphrasing. If I start with you first and you're going to be judged, just think what's going to happen to them that are not in the house of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning.
Yeah.
I'm almost there. With respect of persons. Meaning you can't have partiality towards people.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
We've decided who's our neighbors and who's not our neighbors.
Come on now.
Amen.
We've decided who we want to be friends with. Oh, going to the woodshed. We've decided who we want to be friends with and who we do want to be friends with. If you talk proper, I'm cool with you. If you talk street, don't get. These are things that are separating the body of Christ from one another.
Come on, Pastor.
These are things that don't allow us to create an atmosphere of power in and around our lives because we separate ourselves from one another because we've had respect to persons.
Amen.
Jesus, my goodness, if Jesus had respect to persons, I'd still be on the street.
Yeah.
Or locked up in somebody's jail. Or worst of all, dead. Few people mad. Just a few. I'm going to give you this mic, boy. For if there come unto your assembly, and then he goes on to explain it. I love the word of God because it interprets itself. What are we doing? We're contending for our faith. We're fighting for the gift of God that is within us. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, who you going to seek first? I've seen some people come through these doors, and God has chastised me. Many of you probably weren't here. How many remember the guy who had AIDS? He had full-blown AIDS. And he had sores all over his body. And he never missed a service. And I ran from that man because I was scared. I'm being serious. I was scared. I don't want to touch him. Of course, Pastor Hart says, go pray for that man. Go pray for him. Why are you going to send me? You go pray. I didn't tell him that, but I gave him that look. You the pastor? You go pray for him. I was not going to pray for that man. That's probably one of the first times I actually told Pastor Hart, you can go get on that. But I'm not going down there. I'm not going to lay hands on him. He smelled bad. He looked bad. He looked bad as he smelled. But he came to church every Catholic and time the doors were open. And it comes to my attention first lady that that was my tribe.
That's right.
I sat there. Pastor Hart looked over at me like, oh, you really ain't gonna go. And I was like, I'm really not gonna go. You ain't gonna go, so I ain't gonna go. And I sat there, and I couldn't get nothing out of the service. I got more miserable as the service went on. And then God said, are you feeling me now?
Right.
I'm talking to you where you can, are you feeling me now?
Right.
I go, Lord, I can't do it. He said, what happened? You can do all things through me.
That's right.
I said, but I'm talking to God. I'm sitting on the platform talking to God. I'm looking at this guy, and I absolutely do not want to go touch him, Brother Little John.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get close to him. And I'm going, Lord, why me? I said, why not you?
Amen.
You got respect for persons.
Amen.
I said, Lord, look at him. He's sick. I'm going to catch it. And I heard the Lord say, if you catch it, it's because you deserve it. Now he said, now you can catch it and not touch it.
Right.
I said, oh, Jesus. I got up. I went down there. And I laid hands on that man. And then the Lord said to me, while I had my hands laid on you, now do you understand what it is not to have respect of persons? Now do you understand what I mean when I say the poor? He's not just messed up physically, he messed up spiritually. And that man looked up at me, and when he looked up at me, it reminded me of the story Pastor Iron told when he was in Jerusalem, how they were walking down cobblestone streets, and there was a guy sitting on the side of the road, and he had boils and stuff all over him. And everybody just walked right by him, and that fellow Hart said, he said, the Lord told him, you go over and minister to him. And he said he was scared to death to go over him, because he said this man was hideous in his features. He said, but he chalked it up, he gritted it up, he went over there, and he laid hands on this man, and he began to cry and weep. And the man looked up at him and told him, nobody has ever shown me any kind of love. And he said that man cried and accepted the Lord into his life as his Savior. This man looked up at me. And he said to me, he said, I know I didn't miss it. Is it too late for me to have Jesus? I said, brother, it ain't never too late.
Amen.
I struggle with my faith. We struggle with our faith because we come in contact with people every day that need to know
that
somebody
Amen.
Loves them
Amen.
Or cares for them.
Amen.
But we have respect of persons. If you look like you're going to hurt me, I ain't going to fool you. I talk to everybody. I figured if God don't help me defend myself, you ain't going to get them. I had that big old coat on, Brother Relford. I go in the stores, I go someplace, there'd be eyeballs in my coat. Man, I bet that coat warm. I say, it sure is. I say, it sure is. Like, you got to get off me. But I talk to him. Because we can't have respect for persons.
That's right.
God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but
a
power. But the most important word is that of love. I got 4 minutes. No, but stop laughing. Envouring. Folks come to church screwed up, mixed up. Sometimes they even a little crazy.
When was that? Last month or was it last part of December? When they brought some lady in here. Remember that lady, December?
Yeah. I thought she just wanted bread. My goodness, she was doing all kinds of stuff. Trying to lay on the floor and crawl. I go, not again. I'm already tired. I just got through preaching. We was having our dinner. I'm like, not today. I said, you know what? I ain't fighting this battle by myself. I said, got the pastors. And she was doing all kinds of things. And then the Lord said, it ain't no devil. That's her flesh.
Yep.
She's looking for attention. Sometimes people just need attention.
Yeah.
Everybody ain't got no devil in. They just need attention.
Amen.
Amen. We gave her attention. She fell out right back there. In that hallway, I said, get up.
Yeah.
I had already recognized what it was. There's no need to be. I said, get up. She got right up. Gave her the attention she needed, but now she needed some strength. I could have went over and, oh, come on, get up. She's been delivered ever since. But she got attached to me. That I refused to minister to her after that. because it wasn't about her being delivered no more.
Right.
You have to be wise as a serpent,
yeah. Yeah.
But harmless as a dove.
Amen.
That's scriptural.
Amen.
God is calling us to defend our faith. You have to defend your faith. Don't let people separate from you from your loving God because they got bad attitudes or because they look crazy. Most of them are. Or because they act crazy. Or some just drive you crazy. You know I'm looking at you, Rob.
Yeah, that's why we're looking at you.
But the Word of God says love conquers a multitude of sin. That's not
right.
Sins.
That's right.
But a multitude of old nature.
Yeah.
We have to figure out a way through the Word of God to love everybody.
Amen. Amen.
Regardless of how much they may get on your nerves.
Amen.
Who they are, what they are, what they look like. It said that ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit down here in good place. And say to the poor, stand out there or sit here under my footstool. I've seen it happen so much in this church. Yeah, we finna go there. If you have money, you can do whatever you wanted to do. You can sit anywhere you want to sit. Get away with anything you want to get away with. If you had the money. But it wasn't the ones with the money that had all the love. And the peace and the understanding. It was the folks that were striving for the prize. But they got treated differently. See, broke my heart. But you can, some things just out of your hands till you get a chance to do something about it. All you can do is love anyway.
Amen.
And ye then are ye not, I'm in the fourth verse. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hark to my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Don't matter. If they love him, you don't know whether they love him or not. If they tell you they love him, then you got to take their word for it.
Right.
Amen.
Who was that? Somebody said it was a fruit inspector. Remember that? Who was that? Right. You should say, I'm a fruit inspector. And I said, what's he talking about? He's a fruit inspector. He said, I have to get around where I can tell what kind of fruit you got in your life.
Wow.
y'all working on that one, ain't y'all? Read Galatians, you'll figure it out. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you? Yeah. And draw you before the judgment seat? Yeah, they do. Do not then blaspheme that worthy name. Don't blaspheme the name of Jesus that's in your life.
Yeah.
Because folks don't look like you think they should, or they don't have the knowledge you think they should have that you have. Or they're not as smart as you are. They don't dress as well as you dress. Don't judge them. God, I've been saying this for years, God is raising up a church out of the midst of the church that's going to walk in faith, and they walk in faith, they're going to live by faith. The just shall live by faith, and by living by faith, they're going to walk in love towards all men.
Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jump down to 14. What does it profit, my brother, through a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? No. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily bread, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. I see that happen too. Go your way in peace. Don't worry, God gonna bless you. But you have the means to help them get blessed.
Yes.
But you send them out the same way they came in.
Yeah.
That's called respect to persons.
Amen.
You're not contending for your faith. It's a struggle. It's a battle. We're in a battlefield right now. And God is searching the intents of our hearts. Whatever we demonstrate on the outside may be fake. But what the real deal is on the inside, in our hearts. And God is searching our hearts to see if we are who we say we are.
Amen.
Or if we're just talking.
Come on now.
If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of faith, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit?
Amen.
The words just fell into the ground.
Amen.
And one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Oh, I said that. I like that voice, evidently. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, men say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith with thy works, and I will show thee thy faith by my works.
Ooh, Jesus. Wow. Amen. Amen.
We grew up in the church. Things didn't go the way folks, you didn't do the way what folks thought you should do. The first thing was say, bring your faith.
Right.
That was a favorite saying, bring your faith. And I never knew how to answer that, Brother John. I just had no idea. I got faith. And then one day it just come out. Say, where your faith? It's in my works. You want to know what my works are? My works is loving you.
That's right.
In spite of the way you persecute me.
Come on now. Amen.
Right. Being humble before you in spite of the way you raise yourself up above me.
Yeah.
That's my works. I love you in spite of you. Now you show me your faith. Since I already saw your works.
Amen.
You want to show folks your faith? Let them see your works.
Yes.
Your faith in God becomes reality when you can love folks that hate you. Your faith becomes a reality when your works show forth the power of the living God, that you can be humble when you think you shouldn't be. Your faith becomes a reality when you can show folks that you pray for them even though they despitefully are using you and persecuting you. Your faith becomes a reality when you can show folks that in spite of the way they are, you're not going to be that way.
Right.
You're going to care about the uncareable. You're going to pray for the unprayable.
Yes.
You're going to love the unlovable.
Yes.
You're going to have peace with those that are without peace.
Yes.
You're going to have joy when you don't think you need to have joy because everybody coming against you, your body coming against you, your finances ain't right, your mind is troubled, your family is tripping,
Pastor.
Your friends are tripping, your car ain't acting right, and your dog just tried to bite you. And you hear the word of the Lord said, to go in peace. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm done now. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They do. You can look at that twofold when it says the devils believe too. Don't y'all be looking at nobody's face when I say this. I give all my blessings to the man upstairs for all my gifts. That's the new thing. Well, and they do no more. Folks get up and give their acknowledgement to God some way, form, or fashion. They don't never call him Jehovah. They don't never mention Jesus. It's the man upstairs. I ask him, what flow are you on? I stay in trouble with folks. What flow are you on, bro? These are the things that we have to deal with to continue our faith. Folks believe they're going to slide in. They're going to begin by the skin of their teeth. Them little sayings get me in trouble. But we're going to keep it moving. Even the devils believe. They do believe. Folks that don't know Jesus as their Savior, they can be called devils. They believe in God, but they don't live for God. That's what he's talking about. And don't let it start thunder. First thing they say is, devil beating up his wife. How come the devil always got to be beating up his wife? How come she can't be whopping on him? Or God beating an angel. That's the only way of showing that they acknowledge God as a deity, as an authoritative one. But thou wilt, thou own vain man of vain, that thou faith without works is dead. What he's saying is, if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit or the works of God in your life, like in Galatians, love, joy, peace, goodness, mercy, long-suffering, you know, all that stuff. If you don't have that in your life, your works are dead. Which takes us back to the scripture, for the wages of sin is, yeah, the payoff of the old nature is always going to produce one thing, yeah, death. So if your works don't elevate God to be who he is, then your works are dead.
Amen.
I got one with this morning. I think Pastor Hodges let me preach in Hot Brother just to see what kind of trouble I was going to get into. He just got ticked. You preaching this morning. Brother Hart, you told me when Rex was preaching. Oh, I changed my mind. I got up and said, the church is full of dead people. You know who was in the service, right? Evangelists, missionaries, pastors, teachers, so-called apostles and prophets. And I said, I turned around, I had to laugh myself. I said, here we go, Lord. That's right, brother. That's right. I said, you agree with me now. Come to you later after service and tell them I was out of order. Then you're going to line up with them. I said, a church full of dead people. And it's still the same today. I lost a few lambs. If we not show forth the love of God, we did. Was not Abraham, my father, justified by works?
Yes,
when he had offered Isaac upon the altar?
Yes,
he was. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? Mm-hmm. And by works was faith made perfect? Mm-hmm. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness.
Yes.
And he was called the friend of God. If I ain't never called nothing, I want to be called a friend of God. Because you can't be friends with nobody bigger than God.
Amen.
Especially when I know some of the stuff he done rescued me from the last 8 years, Brother Tyrone. I started to say, I'm going to call Tyrone. And my flesh say, call him. I know, I'm not. Tyrone put up with me, he loved me. When I met Tyrone, that's the first thing I did to him. I know he said himself, this man crazy. Y'all know y'all heard that song. Don't be trying to act holy in the top now. Don't get so spiritual you ain't no earthly good. Or it's heavenly minded, ain't it? Amen. I'm excited about the way God is moving. Not just here, not just in church. But I'm excited about the way God is moving out there on the streets.
Amen.
Amen. Like these guys standing there with the signs who work for food. If I can look in their spirit and see that they're sincere, then I've given some. But when they sit there and they got this look on their face like, that's a portrait.
Yeah.
That's just a portrait. You You want to find out if they mean it? Roll down that window and say, I got a job you can do. I'll do it. I'll roll down my window in a minute. Here's my car. Meet me here, such and such. I need some work. I bet no quicker than I turn the corner, they throw that card on the ground. I don't want the card, I want some money. He said, you work for money, you work for food. Come on, do some work. I'll feed you. You too. I'm going to put you to work. Yeah, they looking at you, Dominic. Amen. It's up to us. We got to stop waiting on people to lead us down the path and find our own path. If you don't find it, I might lead you down the wrong path. That's why I tell everybody, search scriptures for yourself. The Bible says search the scripture and then he think he had an everlasting life. Just because you can read the scripture from Genesis to Revelation don't mean you're going to live forever. Find out for yourself what God is saying to you. Don't never take my word on nothing. Find out for yourself. That's one thing Pastor Hart taught me that I'll never forget. He said, if you don't like what you're being taught, get your spoon and your knife out and feed yourself. That was the greatest thing he ever told me, because that's exactly what I started doing. Opening up my Bible and feeding myself. I started dissecting the word for me. I decided I'm going to find out what God has for me. Because I can't be like him. Though many have tried, I don't have the ingenuity to do it. Well, the patient, try to be like him. Be careful what you pray for. Don't ask for somebody else's gift. You better ask for your own. If you ask for their gift, you got to go what they went through to get it. Pastor Relliford, the preachingest preacher I ever heard preach, but I never said I want to preach like Brother Relliford. Because he done been through some stuff. And he's still going through it. I think I'll let him keep what he got. And deal with my own. Amen. Everybody stay. My goodness.